A bill that makes it easier for the Department of Veterans Affairs to fire senior executives could extend to all other employees at the department. The probationary period for new employees would also get longer from 12 to 18 months. House Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Jeff Miller says too few people at the department have been held accountable for the patient wait time scandal that emerged into public view last year, nor for other management failings at VA. The VA Accountability Act of 2015 cleared the committee earlier this week. It will likely go to a full House vote during the last week in July. Carol Bonasaro is the president of the Senior Executives Association. SEA drafted a letter to Congress this week, raising several objections to the bill. And Carol joins us now to talk about it. Hi, Carol.
Hi there.
So there are a few big provisions in the bill, actually, that do affect SES members, and I want to get to those in a minute, but your letter is mostly focused on the pieces that affect the broader VA workforce, so let's start there. They're dramatically limiting the MSPB appeals process, much like they did for the SES in last year's bill, but as you point out, Congress may be overlooking some other appeal avenues, right?
Yes. Well, typically, general schedule employees are very unlikely to use MSPB proceedings, but rather to utilize union represented grievance or arbitration proceedings. So, and I suspect Congress didn't realize that, which probably in many ways is good for general schedule employees if this bill moves ahead.
If they wanted to, could they write legislation that basically overrides those collective bargaining agreements and says, sorry, guys, MSPB is your only appeals option?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I would not pretend to be an expert in that area. But, you know, we said originally when this at-will provision was adopted for the senior executive service that it was the first olive out of the bottle. And I confess it's not satisfying to have been right about that.
Yeah,
this is really unfortunate because there are no hearings that have been held on these legislative proposals. They're not thoughtful. They're just punitive, and you know, it of course puts anyone in mind of the beatings will stop when morale improves.
The other provision that you raise in the letter is the issue of the probationary period, which you say is probably not necessary or helpful. Why?
No, because I think for most positions, and certainly I would argue this for the SES, 1 year is sufficient, assuming that everyone is doing their job, that is to say, giving feedback to the incumbent, and so that the whoever has moved into a new SES position understands fully how they're doing, what they need to do to improve, if they do. So that at the end of the year, in fact, before you get to the end of the year, you really should know where you're going. And that's true, I think, for many, many general schedule positions as well. There are some that require extensive training periods. I know that's true, for example, at Social Security. And so where you have a position that requires a year of training, there's really no way to assess that person because they aren't in the job at the end of the year. So for some positions, a longer period may make sense, but I suspect that's not the case with the vast majority of positions at VA.
You say in the letter that last year's reforms and this bill don't respond to the, quote, real management issues at the department. What are those issues and what could Congress be doing instead?
Well, look, Congress is just unhappy because they provided what they thought was authority that the secretary needed. In fact, the secretary did not need authority to be able to remove senior executives. It's really a very simple process, but they passed a draconian bill. They aren't happy because the secretary has not been, not enough heads have been rolling at VA to make them think that he is serious. Now, that assumes that there were a whole lot of incompetent people who engaged in misconduct, had very poor performance. I don't think that's the case. I think there have been a lot of systemic issues at VA, not the least of which is overtime, a huge influx of, for example, of veterans claims. a lot more veterans utilizing the health care services, new issues around PTSD, et cetera. There are a lot of management issues. The way you get to them is not by continually alleging that civil service provisions are inadequate and turning the place into at-will, pre-Pendleton Act employment.
Chairman Jeff Miller of the House Veterans Affairs Committee says that zero people have been fired directly as a result of the patient wait time scandal in Phoenix and elsewhere. If you're a member of the public or anyone else from the outside looking in, that sure makes it look like, gosh, there's got to be a problem with the civil service system if no one's been fired after what sure looks like misconduct.
Well, we hardly know where to begin with that one, do we?
Go ahead.
In fact, the first person he fired with regard to Phoenix took her case to the MSPB.
Sharon Hellman.
And Sharon Hellman. And while ultimately her firing was upheld, it wasn't on the basis of anything to do with patient wait times,
right,
which the VA had not demonstrated. Now, I'm sure that there are other folks who have retired or been forced out, whether in fact they were demonstrated to have had anything to do with bad wait times. My impression is in many cases that those wait times were accomplished at facilities that career senior executives were not in direct charge of, but that's simply an impression. The point is that when you want to characterize a problem in a certain way, and you do it the way that members of Congress have done it, you get a lot of media attention. When Secretary McDonald comes on and tells you what actually has transpired, it's just not as interesting, newsworthy. It's not a soundbite.
It's interesting to us, I must say. The provisions of the CHOICE Act that applied, the accountability provisions that applied to the SES, have been in effect for a while now. Has there been any impact on SESers within VA, as far as you can tell, or was it, as you said before, mostly just a matter of giving the secretary authority he didn't need?
Well, I think it's going to take a while to see that fallout. I mean, I was just talking to someone yesterday. I don't have hard numbers, but I have a pretty good sense that, there's a concern about the atmosphere there, and I wouldn't lay that by any means totally or necessarily even partially at the secretary's doorstep. It's the continual congressional desire to look for scapegoats and to press the secretary about the management of the place, and it makes it very difficult to do your job, to be innovative, to take a risk. And some people are just electing to retire and say, I've loved my work, I think it's important, but this just is not the way I want to work. I think, too, by the way, there are a couple of other provisions in this bill that are just absolutely mindless. That is the forced distribution of ratings, decreeing that there can only be 10% of executives in the department who can receive an outstanding rating, irrespective of how well they perform.
Right. This is in the new bill.
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense. It's unfair. It's not motivating. Then we've got another version of musical chairs. Every 5 years, without regard to a business reason, executives are going to be rotated to a different program. And what fascinates me about that, most VA executives who supervise the health networks or hospitals have a certification. They're board certified in healthcare management from the American College of Healthcare Executives. Mm. I want to know how you take an executive who has never done that work and throw them into that position and expect them to be up to speed and to do well.
And move the board certified person to the comptroller's office.
Well, there you go. It just is reaching a point where, it didn't make sense before, but the refusal to sit back, let the secretary manage the department, and do what he has to do. No one can turn a department that large around on a dime. And there are other issues, including resource issues, as we all know.
You mentioned a couple of the elements of this new bill that would kind of do just a mini reorg of the SES within VA only. I'll just rattle off a few of the other ones for our listeners. A $300,000 cap on performance awards, a limit on administrative leave to 2 weeks per year, a reduction in your retirement annuity if you're convicted in some range of criminal offenses. What do you make of the rest of those provisions?
Well, again, we've got some more olives coming out of the bottle. And, you know, I don't look forward to this by any means, but these are going to be provisions that can be looked to by other members when they're unhappy with another department or agency. And, you know, the easy targets are career executives. I don't know why easy targets aren't political appointees anymore, but apparently not. We're not looking at what are, in fact, civil service provisions right now. Why do they exist? What do they accomplish? The fact is that if they're not being utilized appropriately when they should be in cases of poor performance and misconduct, that's a matter of getting political leadership, in some cases career leadership certainly, aware of exactly what tools they have at their disposal and urging them to use it. And, you know, I confess that it's not unusual when some managers, supervisors try to move against poor performing employees, they will find themselves subject to EEO complaints or grievances that can take up a lot of their time. And they have to know they're going to be supported if they move ahead when it is appropriate to do so. So this is not as simple a problem as Congress would like to make it out. By the time they'd get through, I don't know who would be working there. And that's not going to benefit or support veterans.